Certainly encouraged that you're here, that you're wanting to be a part of True North and the ministry here. So that just to give you a heads up on that, and we want to move into our study, and we're walking through this series where we're trying to look, as we've begun this new year, we're looking at our core values. Who are we? Who should we be as True North Church? And so we're walking through those four, and right now we're talking in the area of the connect. And one of the things we saw early on, and we'll come back to this passage in a moment, but we went into a passage written by one of the guys who hung around with Jesus during his ministry here as he walked on planet Earth, a guy by the name of John. And John is one of the eyewitnesses to that time with Jesus, and he wrote the Gospel of John, which is kind of his testimony of the life of Christ as he walked through the Gospel. We have four eyewitnesses, the four Gospels. But then later on, John wrote a couple of letters to groups of Christians and shared some more insight. And the passage we'll look at again in a moment, one of the things he makes clear is, in this issue of connect, and certainly part of that, a big part of that is, we want to help each other connect to each other through community groups. That's a high value here. And if you're not in a community group, then we would encourage you to get in one, an opportunity to study. And if you're interested in facilitating one, talk to me, because we'll put the tools in your hands. And to do that, in fact, we'll have some exciting information on that in a few weeks. So we want to do a good job of connecting to each other. But what we discovered in John's passage, as you'll see in a moment, is that never quite works if the connection vertical isn't right, if we aren't connected the way we should be to God. And so right now, we spent a couple of weeks, we'll finish up this morning, Lord willing, but we spent a couple of weeks talking about that connection first. How do I go about making sure that my relationship with God is one that is growing, that's vital, that's getting stronger every day? Because if that's right, John says, as we'll see, then the horizontal would be right as well. That's the way it works. It's interesting, back in the late 70s, a guy by the name of Robert Foster wrote a book called Celebrating Disciplines. Now, I told you when we started this a couple of weeks ago, we started looking at this vertical connection, that when we were talking about this as elders, that we started kind of talking through this vertical connection, and the word discipline came up. And I share with you, my honest reaction was my back kind of stiffened a little bit, because, you know, that word sometimes has a tendency to be tied into legalism, to religion. Okay, here's the steps. Here's the boxes that you need to check to be able to say, I'm a good Christian. And so we check the boxes, and you know, whatever they may be, and your background, different backgrounds grew up, you have different boxes that you had to check. And as long as I have those boxes checked, things are good. And what we've discovered as we've been talking through this is, God is not about religion. He really is. Religion, by definition, is what we do to try to reach to God. And what the Word of God says is, we're pretty helpless when it comes to that. God had to reach to us. He had to step into our world, and he had to do everything that was necessary to make it possible for us to begin that relationship. And that's what he's about. A good relationship is not a list of do's and don'ts. That's not a good relationship. That's not a healthy relationship. And that includes in the relationship with God. And so when I heard the word disciplines come in that conversation, I was like, but the reality is, every healthy relationship, regardless of if it's on the horizontal level or the vertical level, every healthy relationship, there are disciplines, there are ingredients that are part of why it stays healthy. And there are things that we do, and we may not always feel like doing it, but we know, I need to do that to keep the relationship healthy and strong. And that's the heart. Foster wrote this, the book, that was his heart. That's why he used the term celebrate in there. These are not lists. They're not check boxes. They're actually things that help us grow in our spirit. He put it in the area of growing our spiritual life, but But here's the reality. What we've discovered as we've studied the Word of God is spiritual growth is just another term, another statement that really means growing in our relationship with God. Because here's what John said in back in his gospel. He really, and actually was quoting Jesus when he said it. Jesus made the statement one time, being asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, well, here it is. And this isn't a direct quote, but he said it has two parts. Love God and love others. And then he goes on and says, all of the commandments, all of Scripture are fulfilled if you do those two right. And that's an amazing statement. So what we've realized is, no matter what terminology you want to talk about, spiritual growth, or whatever word you want to use, the reality is what we're looking for is, I want to make sure that I love God like I should, that we are in good relationship, because if I do, then I will also love my neighbor, my fellow church family member. I will love them well as, and the people in the world that God loves. I'll do that right as well. So that's where the framework is. Here, as we've approached this discussion of this vertical relationship with God, we've used in the Word of God, what we said is, he used a lot of different analogies to say, here's what it looks like. Human analogies that would help us understand what God is looking for in this relationship with him. And one of the ones we've looked at is, and kind of used as a guiding as a benchmark, is he used the marriage relationship in the Old Testament, and in the first part of the Bible, that first section of your Bible, which had a lot to do with the Israel nation. He would refer to the Israel nation in some sections as my bride, and he used that so that they would understand. They got off track. In fact, for the majority of the Israel nation, by the time Christ came onto the scene, it had become religion. They lost that whole image of, no, it's a relationship, but he used that imagery. He said, you're my bride. I'm your husband. And then when he moved into the New Testament, he started to move into, in the book of Acts, where this thing called the ecclesia, the gathering, started exploding, this thing that later would become the church. Then he used that same analogy there, as he talks about us as his bride. And so we thought, well, that's a really good place to start. If that's where he's going to start, then it's a really good spot for us to say, okay, then that's an analogy we should use. And so we've been talking about this relationship with God from the perspective of what makes a healthy marriage relationship. And we came up with these four things and there might be others. These are mine, okay? Looking at the Word of God, these are, I've gotten ahead of you, haven't I? Kevin, he's trying to follow me. And that's hard to do. I give him notes that say, here's where you need to turn, but then I go everywhere. So, sorry about that. So we got these four, as I look at Scripture, things that I think are crucial to a healthy marriage relationship, or any relationship for that matter. Communication, learning, admiration, and listening are the ones that we have been looking at together. And as we've talked about this subject of connect, that they all go hand in hand. Well, here's what Foster did then. So in his book, Celebrating Discipline, he came up with 12 disciplines that he thinks are part of healthy relationship. And I think that's the next slide, Kevin. Let's look. Okay, here's his 12 from that book. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, and guidance. And then he put them under three categories, he says, here's the first category. It's an inward discipline. I'm just moving along here, Kevin, so let's see if that next slide says it. Yeah, so we have this inward discipline. He said that's those four. Then we have outward disciplines, and then we have corporate disciplines, which we do as a church body. Well, if you want to know more about that, read his book. It's a good book. It really is. It kind of took the body of Christ in the 80s a little bit by storm, because it started to incorporate this idea of good health of the relationship requires certain disciplines in the relationship. But I kind of looked at those, and I looked in the framework of what we're talking about, and have arranged them under my headings, because of course I like mine better. So we're going to look at these, because I think, you remember back in school when you had to do that thing with, I know some of you are in school still, so sorry about that, but So they do this thing, they put these headings, and then they put these words on this column on the side, and they'd say, draw a line to connect where they go. So I, looking at Foster's disciplines, I said, okay, I think they fit into what we're talking about, our headings here. So the first one, the communication prayer, I think two of these ones, the confession and guidance, are part of that communication. You know, good relationship requires those times where we say, man, I'm sorry. I've been in a garage today, and I'm not sure why it is, or maybe I know why it is, but I know I just want you to know I'm sorry. Or it might be a bigger thing that. So there's that confession. There's that part of healthy relationship is we're able to have those kinds of conversations, and that's in the vertical as well. God says, and we talked about that last week. I don't know why we try to hide things from God. Because he knows anyway. So we even look at some passages from some of the Psalms where the individuals were honestly expressing their heart to God, and sometimes they weren't happy with God, and they said it, and God recorded that in his word for us so that we would know we could have that kind of conversation. And then guidance, a healthy relationship. It's interesting when in Ephesians again, where Paul talks, he moves into the marriage relationship. And he starts off by saying, this is one of mutual submission, where we talk through things, we think through things, and we look to each other for guidance. It's not one-sided. We're figuring this out together. And that's God. Now, the difference between God is he's got to figure it out. But he wants those conversations. He wants us to say, God, I don't get this. I don't understand this. I need some insight. In fact, he used the brother of Jesus, James. And James said, man, if you need wisdom, ask. God wants to give it to you. Okay, so then the second one, as we move on down, we talked about, in my categories, is learning or study. We talked about how we used, again, this marriage analogy where Peter writes, and he says to the husband, but I think it goes both ways, is, husbands, live in an understanding way with your wife. And another way that could have been translated was, be a student of your wife. Well, the same in the relationship with God. God, in his word, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, study. Get into the word of God, because that will tell you how to live in a way that is approved by God. It keeps that relationship healthy and strong. And so I used to do Foster's and just through meditation. Of thinking about it. And as we learn about each other in our enemy relationship, there. Sometimes you've got to stop and process that a little bit, okay? Man, I never, even still, 40 years into this marriage, there have been things that come up and I think, oh, I never realized that before. So there's this processing, okay, how do I apply that to my relationship and vice versa? And why service? You might say it because, and we'll talk more about this as we move, but I think it goes back to that passage in Peter where he says, live in an understanding way. Knowledge, in fact, here's what Paul wrote when he wrote to the Corinthian church. And we've talked about 1 Corinthians 13, that passage that describes this wonderful love that God has for us, and in the process says kind of love we should have for each other. But one of the things he says in the prelude to those, that definition is, hey, you got all the knowledge in the world, but it doesn't apply to your life and make you a more loving person. You are an empty gong. You're a waste of time. It's not just about learning. If it doesn't impact who I am, then it's emptiness. And so I think that is part of that, is learning should make a difference in my life. So let's go to the next one here, too, Kevin. Admiration, worship. And so I'm going to type Foster three of these, the simplicity, submission, and celebration. Submission and celebration, I think you get that. But why simplicity? Well, it's interesting in Foster's definition,
as he talks about simplicity, It's, and
I think it really fits in the relationship, any relationship as well. Sometimes we allow so much stuff to get into our life that we start neglecting what's really important. And they may all be good things, but, I've shared with you. I got a letter in my file from my wife who said, things got changed in our life. And I was doing good things. You probably have those conversations where you realize, I'm involved, where you sit down and say, your spouse says to you, you got to get out of something. You just, there's just too much, there's too much going on, and there's not time for us. Well, that's, I think that's the simplicity. That, and in our relationship with God too, I think one of the enemies, and I think he's real, Satan's favorite tools with Christians is to put so many good things in front of you, and they all look, oh yeah, I should be doing that, I should be doing that. And the reality is, you can't, if you do all of those things, something's going to get neglected, and that's probably what it is, that relationship with God. And so the simplicity is part of healthy relationship. It's part of what God needs in our relationship with him. It's part of really focusing. Worshiping means we focus on God, and that's part of simplicity is part of it. And then his last one, or last two there, one, in our headings, it's listening. You know, good relationship means that I listen to, and but fasting and solitude. It's funny, fasting's kind of a, being honest with you. So, and I think I told you this, but a while back, before we had actually kicked off as True North, New Life asked me to preach there, and they were doing they're actually walking through some of these disciplines at the time, and they asked me if I would preach on fasting, because Pastor Stan is going to be gone, and if I preach on fasting, I said no. And I told their people that, I said, I got to tell you, they asked me to preach on fasting, I said, I'm probably not the guy to do that. But it is in the Word of God. But in the Word of God, you know, it's easy, you know, and actually you hear, we hear a lot of this stuff today, even now, you know, you drink those drinks because you got to purge all those impurities out of you, and whatever the case may be. We won't go into that too much. But anyway, so, you know, sometimes people do fasting because, well, it's just a healthy thing to do once in a while. But in the Word of God, fasting was really deliberate. It was, when folks would do it, it was like there's an important decision they had to make. And so, in fact, in the Old Testament, there's a story of Esther. And wonderful story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And here's this woman that God puts into this position of great influence, and suddenly her Jewish people are in trouble because there's been this edict that's gone out from the ruler, and they're going to slaughter the Jews. And her uncle Mordecai, and this is all, you have to read the whole story. You need to, though. It's a good story. He comes and he says, you know, our people are going to be slaughtered. You need to go talk to the king. And this is the Persian king. And the way it worked back in those days is you went and talked to the king when the king said, I want to talk to you. You didn't do it on just because you wanted to have a conversation. It wasn't, even though she was married, she was a queen. She couldn't say, hey, honey, I want to talk today. And in fact, it was not uncommon if you pushed for an audience with the king and he didn't want to talk to you, he'd make sure you never had an audience again. You'd lose your head. And so when Mordecai comes to Esther and says, yeah, you need to go talk to the king because they're going to slaughter your people, she's like, wait, he hasn't even wanted to talk to me for a month. I'm not sure what's going on. And he says, hey, this might be why God put you in this position. And so here's what she says. Okay, tell our people to fast and pray. And she's seeking this direction from God. And then in the New Testament, you know, interesting, here's Jesus. He has a boyhood, and then he comes to the point where he's gonna launch into his ministry. It's only gonna last about 3.5 years. 3.5 very significant years. But if you remember, prior to stepping out of that ministry, he goes into the wilderness and he's fasting there. And has some tremendous battles, but God's preparing him for what's coming. So fasting is one of those disciplines, and it is one of those things that it is in the Word of God. And I think part of it is that time where we take this time to listen to God. So anyway, so we got these. You know, that's a good book. I just might want to point you to a book if you want to read a good book, just to kind of get this perspective in mind. But so we've been walking through these last few weeks in this vertical relationship. We've talked about those first two, the communication, which is in the terminology of the Word of God in our relationship with God, is called prayer. And see, that's important that we understand that, because prayer becomes so many different things. You know, we think that prayer is about using certain words, certain ways, and it's not. It is talking to God. In fact, it's interesting. When we get into the Lord's Prayer, Lord willing, a little later this year, we'll look at part of the passages that surround it, too. And one of the passages, interestingly, warns about public prayer. And it talks that there's a danger in public prayer. And I've got to tell you, that danger is always in the back of my mind when I pray for us as a group, because here's the tendency. The tendency is to forget what I'm doing. That I'm talking to God. And I may be talking about all of us in that conversation, but I'm talking to God. And if I start praying from the perspective of saying things in a way that you'll appreciate it, of making sure I'm using the right words, and I've lost it. That's not prayer. Prayer is talking to God. And so that's part of that vertical relationship, is to begin to understand prayer as it really is. This communication, this conversation with our God. And then we looked last week also at that learning. That in a good relationship is a constant learning relationship. Marriage, whatever it is, I'm gaining knowledge. I want to know everything I can know about Mary Lou and about you as we gain our relationship and we gain insight. And it's the same with our God as well. Every healthy relationship, the one with God or the one with each other, it's going to have those as part of the relationship. So this morning I want to finish up in that vertical relationship with these last two. Genuine admiration, worship, is part of a healthy relationship. Now, let me start, I guess, with a disclaimer, or maybe a clarification. I don't think in a human relationship the term worship is a good one. And I see that sometimes. You know, sometimes I think, and I shouldn't say especially nowadays, but I think it's more obvious. I see parents sometimes that worship their children. And I think the result of that is sometimes unhealthy parenting. We love those children. They're a gift from God to us. But they're a responsibility too. And if we worship them, we might not make decisions that we need to make that help us parent well, help them to grow into who they're supposed to be. I've seen individuals who I think worship their boss for their job. And so if their life revolves, and that's kind of what worship is, and so their life revolves around their job, and they sacrifice all kinds of things that they should not be sacrificing to please that boss or climb the corporate ladder. So worship doesn't belong in those human relationships. Husband and wife, it could be the same thing where we it's got out of balance, where we worship our spouse. We want to have a good relationship and one that's growing, but it's not healthy if I worship my spouse. If I lose myself in that relationship somehow. So that admiration is a good word, and I think that we can use these two together, but worship is reserved for our relationship with God. Worship, and the whole idea of worship is that our life is revolves around God. That we see, in fact, Paul talks about this in Romans, and probably the best passage that we can look at. I think it's on here. I jumped ahead on you, didn't I? Well, I really did. Okay, we may be jumping back. Go back to that next there. I think Romans chapter 12. See if you can find that, Kevin. I'm just keeping Kevin really going this way. Romans 12, as he finds it, Paul talks about what worship means, and it's just this perspective, and it's the verse that says, you know, I beseech you, is the way the King James Version says it. I have no idea where I've been with that. So I'm really sorry about that. I really am. Anyway, so he says, based on the mercy of God, here's what the verse says, Romans 12, 1, based on the mercy of God, respond to that mercy by wanting to give yourself to God. And I realize some of you, you're not in that spot of the journey yet. You're still weighing over this whole God thing. And part of that is because you really don't quite got that idea of the mercy of God. You don't really understand how much He loves you yet. And how much you are in His heart. And And he is so passionate about having a relationship with you, about making, about taking that sin that is, has broken the relationship and getting it out of the way by forgiving you, past, present, and future. So you haven't quite understood the mercy of God yet. So you're not quite ready to say, I'm going to put my eggs in that basket. So that'll have to happen first. And I pray that you're on that journey, that you're trying to understand, man, God, I'm starting to get the understanding of the heart of God for me. And that he is, as a gift, free, no strings attached, he is offering to forgive me of everything that's hurt our relationship. I just have to accept the gift. So once you get that, then he says our response to that mercy and that comprehension as best we can should be that we don't give a sacrifice like the Old Testament. We don't say, okay, because I love, because of that mercy, God, I'm going to give up whatever. He says, no, you give yourself a living sacrifice. You say, God, from this, I want you to be what my life is about. Every aspect of my life, I want you to be what it is about. So I am giving, as a spiritual act of worship, as Paul says it, my life to you. And from now on, how I work, I want to do a good job, obviously, and I need the job for the paycheck, obviously, but that's not my perspective. My perspective is how I do my job is wrapped up in making sure I'm doing it in a way that you're pleased with. And sometimes some of you are in rough work environments. I understand that. But your perspective changes when you say it's not really about the environment or my boss or whatever. It's really about that. At the end of every day, I want to know you were pleased with the way I did what I did today. And that becomes with the way I recreate. You know, God wants us to have recreation. He wants us to have fun. But I do it in a way that God wants you to be pleased. Because everything about me is done from his perspective of that you're the focus to God. You are who I worship. You are what I worship. And so that becomes our focus. That's good relationship. And then finally, as we've been walking through these, the listening. Doing a good job of listening. You know, there's a guy in the Bible, in the Yod section of the Bible, the first section of the Bible. His name was David. And David had an ongoing relationship with God from being a child, from a boy. He had an ongoing relationship with God. And it was established out in the field. In many respects, he was last of a bunch of sons. And so he got to do the jobs that nobody else wanted to do, and one of his jobs was to go out and spend days and nights with sheep. And so he would spend time with sheep and time with sheep, and that's a lot of downtime, man. It's a lot of quiet time just between him and God. And sometimes he'd sing, and in that time, though, he developed this relationship of trust with God. He watched God take care of some little problems that gave him faith for the day when the giant came. Remember that story? So David, and the Bible writes concerning David later on, God makes this statement through one of his prophets about David. He says, here's David. David was a man after my own heart. But here's David. One of the priorities that David writes about is, let me read this passage, and that one is somewhere there. Listen to how, and I'm going to lead up to it, because he's going to get to this, be still, but here's where it starts. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture, you know? He learned to relax in God. Now, if you remember the story, some of the stories of David, there was a time that he had a bear attack, and you know, that probably was in the middle of the night and came out of the blackness of the night. But he learned not to sit around worrying about that all the time. That God knew what was coming and he was going to be ready for it. He says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. The justice of your cause like noonday sun. But here's what I want to get to, because this is one of those that we battle in relationships. It really is a battlefield. And in our relationship with God, be still before God. and wait patiently for him. Could have been quiet. Could have been translated, be quiet. I know we're not allowed to say it. Could have been translated, shut up. But we're not allowed to say that, so I didn't say it. Yes, we talk too much sometimes, you know? We do all the talking. And so, and then obviously this ties up to the first one, that good communication, but we do all the talking, you know, we go through this whole list of things, and then we say, good talk, God, and we walk away. And he's saying, sometimes, you just need to quiet. In fact, there's another passage, another psalm where, another psalmist wrote, be still and know that I'm God. And actually a different word there from the one with David. He basically means, you know, shut your mouth. You're talking too much. Listen a little bit. But this one actually talks about quietly resting. This not, you know, and there have been, this is a learned discipline for me personally. I gotta tell you, there have been times when, and I've learned, and I am learning this, I hope after this many years I am, but there are times when things are so much in turmoil. You have those where it's just, and it might not be bad stuff, but it's just so much. And I've found that if I can pause, put the pause button there, and just go quiet before God and rest a little bit in him, that nothing changes, but perspective changes for me. And so that's what David's saying. Good relationship takes some listening skills. Some of us, you know, you have those persons, you know, people in your life that they love to talk to you about what they're excited about. And then you start talking to them, and here's what happens. So they've given their skill in that conversation, they start talking to you, and so now you start talking to them, and they're kind of... And pretty soon, you know, if you're smart, I'll just throw a few things in there that make no sense to really check it out. I think God feels that way about us sometimes. We're all about telling him what's on our heart, but then we never take the time to hear from God. And so these are all healthy relationships. This is what God is looking for in our relationship with him. And he's already said to us through John, if the vertical isn't right, the horizontal never will be. Now, we're going to work and come back next week because we're going to start talking about that horizontal relationship level and look at some interesting things that God says that we need to hear about a relationship with each other, because you know, we have some real warm fuzzies about each other right now. But you know, those things come and go. They do. And so if we don't have healthy ingredients in our relationship, we'll get taken back sometimes when we go through rough waters. And that happens. It's part of this growing relationship. And so we're going to move into that. It's under the title of Connections, those horizontal relationships. But we end this morning with this and recognize this. God wants good relationship with you and I. That's his heart. We've talked about some ingredients that are, I think, primary if we're going to have good relationship. And you got to pray about, okay, God, how does that fit in my relationship with you? Where am I? Where right now? What cylinder is not firing for me in our relationship with each other? Is it just, I don't know how to be quiet before you? And so there's this constant noise going on, and I need to learn this. Is it that I haven't really wrapped my life around you? I don't really have that worship ingredient in our relationship. What is it? Because I want my relationship to be growing, to be vital, to be healthy, to be strong. And because I know that's so important for every other aspect of my life. And I am with you who might still be thinking this through. God wants to be in relationship with you. He's not about religion. He's not about church membership or this or whatever. He wants relationship with you. He loves you. In fact, he not only wants to spend these days of this life on earth with you as his family, he wants to spend eternity with you. And that's waiting on you making the decision to want to be in that relationship, of accepting that gift of the forgiveness, of wiping clean that those things that have interfered in the relationship, so that you can be adopted as his child and he can step by step walk with you for the rest of his life on and into eternity. So you got to think about that. And this might be a good day to say at least this: God, if this is real, if that's really who you are, then make sure I know it. Help me to see it, because I'm still wrestling with who you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your family here and just the opportunity to be with them, to think through your word together, and not just because we want to gain knowledge. That's not what it's about. It's about relationship. That's what it's about. We know that. And so help us to do that well, so that we can be excited and growing and every day experiencing in a fresh way who you are in our life. And we're anxious to get into the horizontal level now and talk through that issue of connect as well. And just seeing what you have to say that will help us have good relationship with each other. Thank you for the things you're doing, for growing pains, for decisions about how many services to have, and especially for the opportunities you're giving us to serve each other. Those are so important for us. Help us to do that well. And Lord, we just now, as we move out into a world around us that doesn't know you, that lots have actually no information about you in this day and age. And so we're the ones that they're going to look at to see what you look like. Help us to represent you well. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Let's sing one more song together.